Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. This is our weekly, sometimes more than weekly, show with Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be with you tonight. I'm kind of outdoors in San Antonio, not in my usual radio studio, because I've had a number of different things going on in the city today. And I'm happy to join you by telephone, and I've got 63% of my phone, so hopefully we get through the show with that. I think we will.
Okay.
Sure.
And I just want to say, this is the Republic Broadcasting Network, so keep Republic Broadcasting going. Go to the republicbroadcasting.org and donate. Click on the donate button. Also go to nationalbugle.com, where you're going to see a lot of the stories that we're going to be talking about today. There's a lot of great stuff up there. You want to make sure you're checking that out a few times a week. And also, download the CoSertified app if you've got an Android phone. You can do that by clicking the CoSertified link on National Bugle. Or, if you don't have an Android, because Tim Cook is trying to screw CoSertified, even though CoSertified's totally not gay, you can still click on the CoSertified link, and you can download the desktop version, the PC version of CoSertified, which is free, and you get so much of the same functionality. So do that. Okay. When I checked out National Bugle, I know you put a lot of stuff up there, but the one thing that caught my eye was the article on Stephen F. Cohen and the origin of the whole Russiagate thing. Did you look into that much?
Yes, I glanced at it. I simply put it up on the board simply because he was the author of the story, and I did glance at it, and much of the information that is there certainly needs to be reinforced in regard to how this whole thing got started. Not only how it got started, but where it's leading. And it's amazing that at this point in the game, so to speak, when the Mueller report, in my view, has been a complete bust, we nonetheless have the continued pumping of this idea by people, including figures in the Trump administration, that we need to, quote-unquote, be getting tough on Russia. And, of course, Mike Pence's recent speech to these West Point graduates in regard to all kinds of militaristic...
Yeah, all the wars that they're going to get to fight in.
Yeah, right. It's done in the same week, virtually, that Pence appeared on the cover of Franklin Graham's Decision magazine, where Pence is telling everyone what a wonderful evangelical Christian he is, and yet the speech that he delivered at West Point, if one actually reads the text of what he said, is an absolutely terrifying address to these graduates, because it basically commits the United States to a perpetual war situation that basically totally contradicts Trump's America First campaign of 2016, and Russia, which has largely been demonized by the globalist left for reasons that we've discussed times on this show, is in this case being demonized by Mike Pence, a Christian Zionist neocon, who basically was lumping Russia in with a series of other people, a series of other countries that are the usual targets of the Bolton-Pompeo line in foreign policy. But Pence made it very clear in that West Point address that we were really going to have to get tough with Russia because of their acts of aggression in Eastern Europe.
Pretty much threatening war with Russia, it seemed to me.
What's that?
Pretty much threatening war with Russia, it seemed to me.
No question about it. And I just am amazed that anyone could listen to this insanity or read the text of what he said and not come to the conclusion that Pence is largely bereft of the senses. So in this particular situation, this is where East meets West, so to speak. or global left meets neocon right in regard of having these is about Putin's Russia. Basically, looking at what Pence was saying in these in his address to these West Point cadets, and it's fascinating to study these West Point cadets in this graduating class in terms of the demographics, because as has been pointed out in this whole piece by Finian Cunningham, which I believe is at the Strategic Culture Foundation. I know that that piece also ran with Russia Insider and several other places, perhaps RT. Cunningham is basically underscoring the fact, without putting it quite this way, that you have a middle-aged white guy with snow-white hair and the traditional let's invade 49 different countries for the Gipper this week mentality that's instructing an increasing number of West Point cadets who reflect all these different minority groups and a much a larger percentage of women in this graduating class.
And obese women, too.
Yeah, obese women, said. Yes.
Obese
to me,
women.
The great irony here is that in this day and age of political correctness, when the military has come to reflect that more and more officially and in regard to admissions policies into academies, and in regard to the general composition of the armed forces, the great irony is, and I think Ray McGovern has also touched on this, as Finian Cunningham has, a lot of these kids representing the African-American community and the Hispanic community, and certainly, however much we might want to use this term gingerly for a moment, the feminist community, which certainly is quite proud of its upward mobility in the American military now. Nonetheless, these people, if Pence's worldview holds sway and if Pompeo and Bolton's view holds sway, are absolutely going to take it in the literal shorts if we get into all of these conflicts that Pence mentioned specifically in this address. And this gets back then to Stephen F. Cohen and what he has been warning us about repeatedly when it comes to Russiagate. And when it comes to a brand of demonization of Putin's Russia that has basically made Putin and made Russia unrecognizable in terms of the actual facts of the matter, the caricature of Putin, the caricature of a post-communist Russia is producing propaganda that far exceeds anything that I in the days when I was a kid and the Cold War was going full tilt and the whole issue was godless communism and the basic face-off I remember so well was Eisenhower with Khrushchev when I was a little boy in this whole issue of the Powers, Francis Gary Powers shoot down.
The U-2, he was later, the pilot of the U-2 plane, shot yeah. down just on the eve of what was to be the Eisenhower-Khrushchev summit, scuttled exactly. that summit, right? And why exactly. why did that happen?
Why did that happen?
I mean, why was it that he was shot down?
Well, basically, he had a situation where he was flying a United States Air Force U-2 spy craft from Pakistan and was basically deliberately overflying Russia. And for all of the usual reasons that U-2s were taking
and
pictures
at
of Russia.
Whose, at days. Whose behest was he overflying Russia on the eve of this summit?
You know, I'm not sure I know the answer to that.
Well,
I'm
not sure I know the answer, but I know what Stephen Cohen says. He says
he's a pretty good source. Let's hear it.
He says it was not at Eisenhower's behest. That Eisenhower had not ordered this, that this was Alan Dulles at the CIA trying to scuttle the summit.
Believe that on the basis, sure, I would be prepared to believe that on the basis of many things that later occurred in the Kennedy administration,
mm-hmm.
both prior to and during the Cuban Missile Crisis, were many of these same types of figures. And of course, by this time, Kennedy had gotten rid of Dulles, but you had John McCone in the picture. You had Kurt LeMay, certainly the Air Force Chief of Staff, Maxwell Taylor, the Army Chief of Staff, and I believe the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, there were a lot of things that these guys were apparently doing that tended very strongly to undercut Kennedy in regard to what he was trying to accomplish in that Cuban mess.
And Stephen Cohen, he makes the point that this is an American tradition for the intelligence services or the military to undercut the commander-in-chief, that when the commander-in-chief's policies don't fit with their own worldview. And he brings up the example of in September 2016, Barack Obama having John Kerry on Obama's behest, having negotiated a deal with Sergei Lavrov and the Russians to cooperate in Syria. There would be a ceasefire in Syria, and then at the end of 3 weeks, I think it was, they would start sharing intelligence. Well, the intelligence services didn't want to share intelligence with the Russians, and so they attacked a Syrian air base, which scuttled the ceasefire. And of course, then if you look at the origins of the Russiagate scandal, which is what this article is about, you find that, you know, it's, well, I mean, what Stephen Cohen points out is that it seems to have originated with John Brennan's CIA. These allegations, not just the allegations, but, you know, all the people who were involved, whether it's Christopher Steele, whether it's the people who were associated with associating themselves with this George Papadopoulos, who was a strange character, but all these major people involved are known to have either they're in the American or other Western intelligence services, are known to have connections, known to be sources. And I would add that when you look at the Trump administration, the people who bought into the Russia hoax, the Russia hacked the election hoax from day one, you know, which the whole narrative of that undermines the credibility of their own boss's election. Who was it? It was Mike Pompeo, at the time head of the CIA, and Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence. I mean, they both picked up that whole Russiagate narrative and ran with it as members of the Trump administration. You know, I refer.
And interestingly enough, Coates, of course, had been a United States senator from Indiana, which makes it particularly interesting that here we have Mike Pence as a vice president of the United States now, and of course, Pence had been an Indiana politician.
And presumably, I'm not sure, but presumably, Coates would have been hired at Pence's recommendation.
Yeah, that's what makes me suspicious on that score about what the connection may be, may or may not be, between Pence and Coates. That would require some degree of investigation, certainly some degree of research to see the extent of the relationship that those two politically may have.
Well, I mean, it seems suspicious on the surface, and there's something else that seems suspicious on the surface, because although Mike Pence has seemed to be the loyal lieutenant and always taken Donald Trump's side, let's remember that one of the pivotal early events of this whole Russia saga was Michael Flynn, General Michael Flynn, being accused of having lied to Mike Pence about his conversation with the Russian ambassador. And that was that was the official cause for Trump firing him, was that he lied to Mike Pence. And it's,
and as we have discussed on this show quite a long time ago, when you get into the whole question of Flynn, whatever his pros and his cons, the fact is that he was the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency that exposed the level of American use of Sunni Wahhabic extremists in Syria, largely at the behest of Israel. So the plot continues to thicken as we continue connecting dots after the fact as more and more information of the type that has come out in Cohen's research and Cohen's writing begins to make its way to the fore, which dovetails really for me with something that I posted, I believe, today for us at NationalBugle.com. Pat Buchanan's latest, which I picked up at Lou Rockwell. It's probably on Pat's own official site, which is on my website. It's probably in three or four other locations, maybe the American Conservative as well. But we posted it from Lou Rockwell. I'm trying to remember the name of the title of the article as it pertains to Trump's war hawks. But basically, Buchanan is asking the question that you and I, Dr. Slattery, have been asking repeatedly, both on and off the air. To what extent does Trump actually have the mindset of these guys? This raises the whole question as to Buchanan's agreement with us that basically for a guy who ran on an America First anti-interventionist foreign policy platform in 2016, you could not find, and this is what Pat says in this latest article that's up there on our big board, and you and I have said it constantly,
you could not.
Advisors worse than these if you attempted to. And so with Bolton, with Pompeo, with Elliot Abrams fooling around in Venezuela, and with Pence basically hinting in this West Point speech recently that the United States had designs on doing some interventionist things with our military in South America. What was Pence referring to? A lot of people would point first and foremost to Venezuela. We've obviously been trying to overthrow that government, and it isn't lost to either Finney and Cunningham, or to you or me, Dr. Slattery, or to a lot of other people, that Venezuela has the largest proven oil reserves. And this may have just something to do with all of these machinations that we're undertaking there, and in this case, where Elliot Abrams, after all these years, pops up as our chief point man in Venezuela, largely at the behest, apparently, of Bolton and secondarily Pompeo.
Yeah.
So when with what Buchanan has written that has come out today in Lou Rockwell, and Pat's articles tend to run in at least 10 other places as well, we're right back to that $64,000 question. And I'm sure that Stephen F. Cohen must be asking this question every night. To what extent does a president of the United States who is running on an America First platform, who is running on getting us out of worthless wars in the Middle East, and a president who basically was saying what we would believe, what Cohen would believe, certainly what you and I would believe, and that is that it is in the interest of the American people, it is in the national interest of the United States to have a working relationship with Vladimir Putin and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
We do not need to be trying to overthrow his government. We do not need to be engaged in the kind of knee-jerk anti-Russian ideology and stated public position that we did during the Cold War. And certainly everything that the United States has been up to pre-Trump, and certainly, sadly enough, in recent times with Trump, points ongoingly to NATO's continued machinations with buildups on the Eastern European border and all of these latest military exercises and so forth and so on. And it begs the question, is Trump in control of his own house, or are these other guys running his foreign policy for him with his blessing, or are we in a situation where these guys are basically working to undermine Trump in a way which will guarantee that with Iran and in the Persian Gulf and probably in Ukraine and probably somewhere in Eastern Europe and undoubtedly in both Cuba and Venezuela that we would have false flags
indeed
and incidents being created that would lead to what it is that Bolton and Pompeo want.
Okay.
That dovetails with something else.
Which we'll get to at the other side of the break.
Sure.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we are back. So, you were just about to introduce another article that's going to shine some light on what we've been talking about.
Well, the two articles I'll just mention, because it gets back to Israel, is the big enchilada in this whole thing that involves Trump, Bolton, Pence, Elliot Abrams, and company. Two things that are on the big board. One is that it now emerges in the Times of Israel. But as the United States is preparing to issue some complaints to the UN in regard to allegations against Iran, that Iran was behind this business of recently sabotaging these UAE oil tankers in the Persian Gulf. Lo and behold, the Times of Israel admits that the United States government is basing that on intelligence information provided by whom? By Mossad. So you have a situation where the United States, which presumably has its own intelligence gathering capabilities, is nonetheless relying upon unverified reports from the Israeli Mossad intelligence organization to accuse Iran of these actions in the Persian Gulf related to these oil tankers that were apparently under the flag of the United Arab Emirates. This has the smell of false flag all over it. And there's another story we also posted today, I believe from antiwar.com, that it emerges that the NSA had been providing intelligence information to Israeli intelligence for the purposes of carrying out these so-called targeted assassinations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these two stories,
and
taken in tandem,
if I could add something
else,
to that, I believe,
yes, go ahead.
I believe because of certain laws that the United States can't just supply that information to help Israel's targeted assassination. So they were instead just blanketly supplying information on all Americans in order for Israel to receive the information that they wanted to help them carry out targeted assassinations.
Exactly. And it's the same old story of basically allowing Israeli intelligence, Israeli-oriented telecommunications people, and allowing, in many cases, Western cell phone providers to carry out actions that result in crimes being committed by Israeli intelligence,
mm-hmm.
up to and including a classic one where I think it's been pretty much substantiated that Israel was directly involved in hacking cell phones, and that is the Khashoggi assassination.
Almost makes you want to go out and get a Huawei telephone, doesn't it?
Yeah, just about. And to me, when we see the history of criminality that is committed by the Israeli Mossad and these other Israeli intelligence agencies, and once again, I'll mention that my late friend Herman Otten of Christian News, who passed away recently, his running of my book review of Gordon Thomas's Gideon's Spies, The Secret History of the Mossad, Miss Rand and Herman's 9/11 commemorative issue, that opened a lot of cans of worms in terms of people on the right, including the late Howard Phillips of the Conservative Caucus, who, as it turns out, was a big pal of Netanyahu's. Certainly began to sour my relationship with Phillips, which had been quite good up to that point. You don't want to go too far down that road. But there were other people on the right who read that review and were largely nervous about that information ever being distributed in conservative, so-called conservative circles. Not that the book wasn't freely available. It was available through St. Martin's Press, and I bought a copy of it at either Barnes & Noble or the defunct Borders up in Philadelphia just before 9/11, and wrote the review before 9/11 happened. But nonetheless, that kind of information, along with many other things that we've discussed on this show in regard to the Levant affair, in regard to the Kennedy assassination, in regard to the USS Liberty attack, the Pollard and IPAC spy cases, 9/11 itself, and the ongoing criminality more recently of Israel and some of these activities that we have up in the big board, it really is beginning to look to me, especially since Buchanan, Pat Buchanan, seems to be of this mindset in this latest article we posted for Lou Rockwell, that Buchanan is very concerned that Trump is actually listening to these fools that he has surrounded himself with. But I think it's implied in the Buchanan article strongly that even if Trump is not ideologically of a predisposition to just rubber stamp anything that these guys want, this gets back to the very thing that you were saying from Stephen F. Cohen's perspective. And that is how apparently Alan Dulles basically sabotaged the summit between Khrushchev and Eisenhower by having this Francis Gary Powers operated U-2 taking off from this Air Force Technical Application Center depot in Pakistan.
We are up on our next break, so we'll continue this on the other side.
Sure.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And
so, in essence,
we are back.
Yes, we are back. And basically, what I was saying before the break is that you had pointed out, Dr. Slattery, that Alan Dulles, according to Stephen F. Cohen, apparently deliberately ran the Francis Gary Powers U-2 spy plane over Russia, in essence, to disrupt the summit between Eisenhower and Khrushchev. In other words, to sabotage it. And that, of course, worked to a T when Powers was shot down, which apparently Dulles, I assume, was not planning on that. But nonetheless, this created an absolute fiasco in American-Soviet relations. Well, here we are, all these many decades later, the Cold War is over, the old Soviet Union is gone, Russia is no longer a communist country. But in regard to these neocon lunatics like Pence and Bolton and Pompeo and all of those who are complicit with them, such outlets as Fox News, are in total command, it would seem, of a situation where even if the Boltons and the Pompeos and all the rest of them cannot doing everything that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, we lost about 5 seconds of audio.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, I was saying that you've got a situation here where even if Trump has some degree of independence from the advice of these neocon lunatics like Pence and Pompeo and Bolton, nonetheless, between those people and their pals in the Israeli government, and even more ominously, all of these neocon and interventionist elements in high places in the American military, there is all manner of opportunity for these guys to create an incident deliberately, to cause things to go way wrong, that will then put Trump in a position where it would appear that his only option would then be to do what these guys want, and that is to engage, say, in military action against Iran, or to do something even more dangerous in regard to Eastern Europe or to Putin's southern flank of the Ukraine, not to mention all these new reports that we're reading about. The things could go way south with the Japanese. I'm sorry, not the Japanese, the Chinese, in regard to the South China Sea and the Straits of Malacca and this whole issue of Taiwan. What happens if a false flag that begins or that is ignited by these very people we've been talking about results not only in a global spread in the Middle East, which is entirely possible, even likely, but what if at the same time something goes way wrong in our military face-off, the NATO face-off with Putin's Russia, at the same time that the Chinese have very recently made it clear that they're not in a mood to take too much from the United States in regard to either the South China Sea or to Taiwan.
Okay.
So this whole thing could get really, really out of hand. And that's what I think Buchanan is very concerned about with his most recent post.
Well, regarding Taiwan, you know, we've been hearing for years and years, oh, we've got to stick up for Israel because it's the only democracy in the Middle East. Well, Taiwan is the only gay-marrying country in the Far East. So that might become a new talking point. We can't let China take over Taiwan and break up all of those wonderful gay-married couples. Who knows? But
well, that's right. And maybe they can recruit Braden Holtby, the goaltender for the Washington Capitals hockey team, who keeps appearing, not that I'm saying he is gay, I have no reason to believe that he is, but he apparently is one of these guys who's been used by the National Hockey League, especially in the nation's capital, to march in these pride parades. Yes. I think this is the third year in a row for Holtby, just to create the idea that not only is the NHL for everybody, quote-unquote, and not as all of this very, very thrilling in a diverse, multicultural city like Washington, D.C., but these things always have a habit of spreading into a mentality that turns out to be anti-Iranian, anti-Russian, mm-hmm. anti-Chinese, and so forth and so on, so that the implication might be drawn that ultimately we're living in a time frame where we're between Pompeo's use of this Eastern Orthodox Archbishop in Constantinople, Istanbul, to issue an edict that would basically sever the Orthodox Church of Ukraine from its traditional Russian Orthodox overseers, but to use the LGBTQ community to engage in CIA-backed subversion in mm-hmm. Ukraine with the full public admittance and connivance of the United States ambassador to the Ukraine, a Barack Obama appointee, and Mr. Pompeo himself, as they put all of this stuff right on the American embassy / American consulate website in Kiev, talking about how terrific it is that the Russian Orthodox Church is kind of taking it in the seat of the pants at the behest of this bishop, archbishop in Constantinople, Istanbul, who, by the way, got $25 million from the CIA for his troubles, mm-hmm. and for a Donald Trump-appointed Secretary of State to have all of this pro-LGBTQ stuff on the American Embassy consulate website in Kiev under Pompeo's signature, and even showing on the official embassy consulate website pictures of the American ambassador to the Ukraine in these marches with all of these people with rainbow flags, in rainbow banners, and talking, of course, about how evil it is that the Russian Orthodox Church won't leave all of these wonderful people alone because they don't permit these wonderful things.
Hey, with evangelicals like Mike Pompeo, who needs Andy Warhol, right?
That's exactly right. Andy Warhol? And to me, whether we're talking about Pompeo using the LGBTQ people in the Ukraine and paying off an Eastern Orthodox bishop in Istanbul, Constantinople, to the tune of $25 million, to create deliberate division between the Russian Orthodox and the Ukrainian Orthodox churches in that country, and for American official, American propaganda to be promoting this division based upon the terrific progressiveness and LGBTQ issues demonstrated by Mr. Poroshenko when he was the installed president of Ukraine before he was beaten recently by a comedian.
A Jewish comedian.
At the same time, a Jewish comedian, folks. And at the same time, of course, you had this situation where this Istanbul-based, Constantinople-based Eastern Orthodox archbishop by the name of Bartholomew II had basically facilitated the biggest split, the biggest rift in the Eastern Orthodox tradition that basically almost rivals the 1054 split between what we now know as Roman Catholicism and the Eastern Orthodox churches, going all the way back to the end of the 11th century. That's how divisive this is. That's how serious it is. It's even resulted in the situation right here in San Antonio, where the Russian Orthodox mission here in San Antonio, the Russian Orthodox Church outside Russia, or ROKOR, they no longer share joint fellowship and the Eucharist with the Greek Orthodox Church here in San Antonio, because the Greek Orthodox Church, as this Bartholomew II, this joker in Istanbul, is what they consider to be their ultimate spiritual authority. And so they're going to back this guy, no matter how outrageous his conduct, how much he has basically been subverting his own religious tradition by taking this bribe from the United States government to indicate that LGBTQ needed to be loosened up on, not simply in the Ukraine, but throughout the Orthodox Church worldwide. This is the extent to which these so-called evangelicals like Pence and Pompeo are willing to stoop. I guess Pompeo handles the LGBTQ subversion in the Ukraine and elsewhere, and Pence handles the overt militarism and let's bomb some people for Jesus today, which apparently is so favorably reviewed by the pro-Zionist Franklin Graham that my mother's latest copy of Decision Magazine, which she reads, but I don't, she gave me one of these the other day. That's how I know Pence was on the cover. And I just thought to myself, when we think about what would Jesus do, I think the first thing Jesus would do, if you want to ask me what I think Jesus would do, is that he would get rid of Pompeo, Bolton, and Pence in one fell swoop.
Well, okay. So earlier in the show, you asked, what does Donald Trump think about this foreign policy? Is this at his behest? Is he simply taking, basically letting other people run the show? And here are my thoughts. You know, we have had a number of shows where we've talked about what Trump should have done rather than just going to the Republican establishment, where he could have talked to a number of people like Pat Buchanan and gotten advice on who to appoint. Now, he didn't, and, you know, I've said, well, he didn't because he's from real estate, he's from entertainment, and he simply he wasn't from this field. But I think there's another reason, and I think it's also because he probably really wasn't really interested very much in these issues either. He wasn't interested enough that he would even have, you know, not just the expertise or the knowledge of personnel that somebody who's working in the field would have, but even wouldn't have the expertise and the names available of somebody who, like us, who are working outside the field, but I have an interest in it. So he didn't know people because he really isn't that interested, isn't that vested in foreign policy, perhaps not in, in immigration as well. So I think that's being reflected. Now, when you get people like Pompeo as CIA director, Dan Coats as the director of national intelligence under the Trump administration, plus the people that Professor Cohen was naming in his article, such as John Brennan, who I think he places John Brennan as really being the father of this whole Russia hoax.
And isn't it ironic that John Brennan, in his youth, was a card-carrying member of the Communist Party? And when we talk about Christopher Steele, Christopher Steele's Russian connections in the 1960s during the Cold War, when he was, I believe, at Oxford University, suggests that Steele was a very, very friendly source for the Soviet KGB when Steele was working for either MI5 or MI6. So that this really starts to make you wonder.
And then Steele has been at the heart of so much of the anti-Russian, what would you call it, propaganda or false flags. If you're talking about that what is it, the Skopel people, the father and son, was it the father and daughter who allegedly were poisoned by the Russians a year or two ago, and I think also the what's this guy, Litvishenko or whatever his name was, who died from the poisoning. Steele was involved in all of this. I think he was their connections to British intelligence, because remember, this Litvishenko, whatever his name was a Russian spy who had, turned coat against the Russians, and who was his connection. So, the Christopher Steele, it all becomes... Now, I always refer to a coup d'etat, which is a Jewish-centered coup d'etat attempt, because I'm looking at the judiciary, I'm looking at the media in particular, but the judiciary, the Congress, the permanent bureaucracy, which isn't exclusively Jewish by any means. It's not even, once you get outside the media, probably not even majority Jewish. But there's a Jewish domination. And with the intelligence services, these people that we're mentioning in the intelligence services, for the most part, they are not Jewish, and they do play a really big role. But, when you talk about somebody like John Brennan, who, as a card-carrying member of the Communist Party back in his youth, I guess that would have been the Gus Hall Communist Party, and I don't think Gus Hall was communist, but the Communist Party was a vehicle for Jewish political activism in the United States, going way back.
No question about it. And so when you start looking at all of this, and of course the well-documented fact that these oligarchs who were stealing post-Soviet Union Russia blind were Jewish oligarchs, almost not quite 100% of them, and that those who had to leave Russia with their goodies wound up either in Israel or in Western countries where they were socking away a lot of loot in Jewish banks, and that the kind of grudge held against Vladimir Putin, especially with the renaissance of Russian Orthodox Christian culture in Russia, these guys have a variety of reasons for hating Putin. And of course, they have every reason and motive to want to subvert Putin via Trump, or subvert an improvement in American-Russian relations that removes these guys from the brand of influence that they had certainly during the Yeltsin period. And this gets into...
Yeah, and I'm just going to throw in one name, Bill Browder, He kind of connects.
There you go, William Browder.
A lot of this.
Classic name.
He is a Jew. He was an American citizen, but became an oligarch, a minor oligarch in Russia. And his grandfather had been the head of the Communist Party USA back in the 30s.
Yes, and in terms of the William Browder case and how this led to the so-called Magnitsky Act that passed the United States
Congress. And we've got only about 30 seconds before the break.
Just consult Philip Giraldi, folks, as one source. An ex-CIA station chief is just one source among many on the William Browder case and this whole business of the Magnitsky Act. That'll fill in a lot of blanks of what we've been talking about tonight.
Okay, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news?
And we are back. Okay, so we've been talking about the whole Russiagate stuff, but we only have a few more minutes, and I notice on nationalbugle.com you have a headline, Warrior Mayor Pete and his sanctimonious chest thumping. This is the American Conservative with Peter Van Buren as the writer, and you write, Mayor Pete is throwing stones today from his glass gay bathhouse.
Well, that's about right. Basically, Peter Van Buren will emphasize the reality of Mayor Pete's military heroism, which follows significantly short, of course, of what he would like for you to believe. But this is, again, just another way in which somebody is basically throwing stones from a glass house. And, of course, we had a more amplified comment on NationalBugle.com tonight in regard to what it is that Mayor Pete is doing. And as you watch this whole situation, I think, at least if the initial polls are to be believed, I think he will go away as a presidential contender, thank God, because the more stuff he says, the more stuff he does, he starts looking less credible to his own people. And I think the latest poll numbers that I have seen of the top four, five, six contenders currently in the polls for the Democratic presidential nomination has Pete bringing up the rear, so
oh
to speak,
God.
In regard to the numbers.
Huh. So maybe he's falling behind Beto O'Rourke. We've got to get Tulsi Gabbard up there so she gets in the September debate. She needs to start registering 2% in the polls as opposed to her current 1%. And all the people who care about maybe the future of civilization, I think there's enough of us in the United States to get her up to the 2% mark. What do you think?
Well, I hope so, and actually Van Buren, if people take a look at that Peter Van Buren story from the American Conservative on Mayor Pete, he Van Buren, does us a favor by comparing Mayor Pete's actual record in his military service with that of Tulsi Gabbard. So that is a comparison well worth making as we close. One other thing I'll mention. Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote out at Cal State Fullerton, one-time employee of the American Embassy in Iran many years ago. He's an Ron Paul Republican and an economist, accountant-type guy, and what he teaches out there on the West Coast. He was recommending to me, and I started reading it, Moses Hess' book. Moses Hess, of course, was the Jew who helped Karl Marx pen the Communist Manifesto. Moses Hess's 284-page book, which we posted from the Harvard University Digital Library, so anyone can read 284 pages of Moses Hess from Rome to Jerusalem through this Harvard University Digital Service. It starts helping one to connect dots with the current Jewish support for cultural Marxism in the United States, with the exception of a few of the Orthodox Jewish folks, of course, that emanates from such sources historically as Moses Hess. So I hope that in the next few days I can really do some justice to that 287-page manuscript courtesy of Harvard University. Mm-hmm. But that's on our nationalbugle.com for anyone that's interested in boning up on
it. Once you've looked into it, come tell us about it.
Very good. I shall indeed. I'll maybe prepare some of that for another conversation on the air.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time today from your busy schedule. And we always appreciate it. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting.